Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. This is my sister sitting here, Cheryl Cottle, and her husband, Bill Cottle. Would you welcome them for a minute? Pastor Bill Cottle, they are retired, but renewed in spirit, aren't you? Are you? The other day when we were talking to all the ministers that were here, we were going back all the years, went back 38 years and 39 years and 40 years and et cetera, et cetera. Well, Cheryl and I go a little further than 40 years back, and Bill. I was thinking of this scripture I just read. When she and I were young and in church, bringing in the sheaves. Remember that song? Anybody ever heard that song besides me? We shall come rejoicing. And I couldn't figure it out because I was sure they were saying sheep. Really? Bringing in the sheep? Okay, I'm for that. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. I had a troubled raising. Do you know that? Remember I was the young man, probably 5 years old? Am I ringing or just close to it? About 5 years old, and we used to, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Anybody remember that song? Come on, Terry, you do remember that song. We used to sing it on Sunday, in Sunday school and church. But again, I was disturbed. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in Tuesday. We were never in church Tuesday. And I wanted to correct everybody. I thought, what's wrong with these guys? Come into my heart today. Come into my heart. How's it go? Tuesday, right? Well, that sounded like Tuesday to me. And we went through. I got through it. I believe that all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord, call according to his purposes. Bill and Cheryl are on their way to camp up in Hungry Horse, come through Belt. But I've asked them to share different parts of their life. It's not a coincidence that we are here today, and that the last week or two with BBS. Have you recovered from BBS yet, Phyllis? Yeah. Have you? Is that the truth, Phyllis?
Yeah.
Thank you for that positive confession. And Donna, and Taylor. We were just, because of circumstances, we just weren't going to have a BBS this summer, and Phyllis, she got it in her head, we need to have one. And so she and her in her wonderful way, Pastor Mark, I think, I've almost been around her so much, I can almost do Phyllis, really. I'm fixing to come upstairs and talk to you when I get done with these kids. I think we should go ahead, and I'm sure we should, but if he did, who wouldn't do vacation Bible school? Amen? And yet, circumstances were such that we needed to bear down and do it. We are in a situation in our fellowship, a time, a history, where we are basically starting over again. And we have a long, wonderful history. But his mercies are new every morning, and so is his starts. And we're starting over again. And the name of your fellowship was Full Circle, wasn't it? That you read for your time? Full Circle, meaning out in Seattle, meaning that they ministered to all ages, not just the young, not just the old, but everybody, the whole circle is involved. I know that it's going across the nation to minister to the young people. I'm into that. I guess you're supposed to have tight jeans. Did you know that? That's the first message that you got. If you're going to minister to young people, have tight jeans and something in your hair and a torn shirt. Amen? That'll do it. Well, we're not quite going to do that. If I keep eating, I'll have tight jeans. We won't have to buy them. But our hearts are set. Our hearts are set to say, Lord God in heaven, help us to sow the seeds we need to sow that we might be a complete church. And those seeds include ministering to children. In our search for the latest word of God, in our search for what the deepest path that is found in Scripture, if desiring to be so into the Lord, we forget about the children, we have made a wrong turn somewhere. In trying to be spiritual, if we forget about the need of those who cannot take care of themselves, we have made a slight wrong turn and we need to correct ourselves. The problem with children is that they're such a problem. Is this being recorded? Am I you recording this camera? Okay. You know, of course, I did not really mean it. The problem with children is that it takes work, it takes effort, it takes investment. If you're going to reach, penetrate, help raise, it takes investment, and every parent should say,
amen.
Well, we don't feel like it. Well, we're going to. We've got to. Generations, this football team that's about to start here in Belt, they don't just start as seniors. They start from down below and they work their way up so that when one team graduates and moves away, next year they have another team. We need to be sowing the seeds in for what some of us would be tears. Really? Because sometimes the kids are not going to come up and stroke you and tell you how wonderful you are and thank you so much for all the work you've done in their life. Where do we get our stroking from? From the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful. And so we are setting ourselves as fall comes back to school, back to where we need to be in the Lord. Children's church will begin just as soon as our children's church committee decides on a curriculum. We'll have a sign up there on the wall, children's church, and an arrow going that way. You adults may not go down. You have to stay up here with me. Sit tight. Youth work, so very important. Donna and Taylor, I guess what Taylor was saying is Pastor Heifel called me the other day, yesterday maybe, and said we're doing a carnival thing in Geyser. We combined with Highwood and Pastor and Geyser, our young people, to have the critical mass necessary for youth work, and we're excited about that. I'm going to ask my sister Cheryl. This is a day that for you bow hunters, this is unstring the bow day, so you don't have any anxiety today. We're just going to chat. Would you welcome my sister Cheryl Cottle? Well, we grew up in Clinton, Miles City. Brief stop in Coeur d'Alene just long enough ago. We saw plenty of spiders and we said, let's get out of here. We came here to Great Falls in 1958. But we were raised in a couple of different denominations, which might remain nameless this morning. But what should be nameless or not spoken about is the impact it had on our lives. So Cheryl and I are going to talk a little bit about that, and then Pastor Bill is going to give his testimony as he was raised down south in Roanoke, Virginia. Have we ever heard of Roanoke, Virginia? Well, it's there, really, isn't it? So Cheryl, share your heart with me.
I'm not used to doing this anymore. When you retire, you know, it takes a while to get used to that, but once you do, it's kind of nice. And so I'm going to have to pull up my bootstraps a little
bit. Yes, you are.
It is really a privilege to be here today. I hope I can get through this without crying, and I know I won't.
We didn't get very far at all.
It's just a real joy to be able to see Mark and his family worshiping here today, and your leader. We just thank the Lord for this church, for your outreach. And I saw a young man that had a Husky sweatshirt on. Where is he? That made me think of home. You know, UW. No, you guys aren't there. But I am. I am a very big sports fan. Seahawks, what did they do? They lost last night. They lost the time before. But those are just preseason, so you just wait. But we're big. My son was, we couldn't get the game, of course. So my son was texting me all the scores last night. I finally said, oh man, just stop. We're done with this. But young people have always been in our heart. From the time that we were in the youth group in our church, it stabilized my life. Mm-hmm. I had something to do on Friday nights. I had something to do on Saturday. On Sunday nights, of course, we had church back then. We would go out afterwards. I never had a dull moment when I was in a youth group.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, that is very exciting. I mean, you know, you've got to keep young people busy. You've got to have something for them to look forward to, their social life. But at the same time, that spirit penetrates into their hearts and it stays with them. The Word of God does not go void. Mm-hmm. It is always there, that seed is there. And you know, when I was 5 years old, is there anyone here five? I don't see any 5 year olds today. When I was 5 years old, my family, this was in Glendive, and my family was attending a new church. And that church believed in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. My mom got the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I think at church. I'm not even sure. She may have not. But I was 5 years old. I was in it. We went on Sunday nights. They didn't have children's church or anything. So we were sitting in there. And you know what? Somehow that seed, that spirit was penetrating my heart. And I was at home, I don't know, doing what five-year-old kids do. And I came, and my mom had on a TV, we didn't have TV then, a radio program of a pastor was preaching on the radio. And he wasn't a Pentecostal preacher, nothing like that. But you know what? The Spirit of the Lord said, Cheryl, you need to pray. At 5 years old, I went up to my mom. I said, Mom, I need to pray. We knelt down at a couch. And I was filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelt in me, filled me. And do you know, I never lost that. How many of us have had a gift that we got when we were 5 years old and we still haven't? Right. I have the Holy Spirit, the infilling of it. And I'm so grateful. And those are the things that set us up for our future, for being able to reach out to others. And only by the grace of God. But we, in our life, you know, we were always in ministry. Even as kids, we were called on to help in children's church. We were always, I could play the piano a little bit, nothing like Joyce. But I would play Jesus Loves Me. I could do all that, you know, we could get through all that. So, but as I grew older, and we ministered in the youth group, and we would go out. We would, you know, we were in Great Falls, and there was an Air Force base. I met a GI, and we got married in Great Falls, and we just celebrated 50 years. Mm-hmm. So how about that? That's pretty good. But the call of the Lord is always with us to do something. You can't just sit in church. And it comes back to the young people. Bill was Christian Ed Director for years.
And so because of that, where we settled in Washington,
we were in tune with a lot of people. I worked as a credit manager at a clinic, orthopedic clinic, for years. And my kids were getting up at age 6th grade, 7th grade, and 9th grade. And I thought, oh man, I've got to leave these three kids at home. You know, you don't really get a babysitter about that time. It's really a tough thing. I decided I was going to quit my job. My kids cried. They thought they'd never have any money again, that we would probably have to look for food. I said, I'm going to stay home, and I'm going to do daycare in my home. I started there, and it just, I mean, it blossomed. It was great. And Bill was Christian Ed director at the time, and so we decided, oh, the old parsonage is kind of, that would work for a daycare at the church. So we went to the board and we said, we'd like to take what we have at our house. I had the waiting list overflow. We could start at the daycare at the church. And they said, well, yeah, as long as you keep it in there. You know, you got to stay there. You know, we don't want kids invading in our area. And so we started over there. It grew over and over we were up at 6 in the morning, greeting the parents. We were there until, well, they were supposed to be picked up at 6, but sometimes it would be 6:30. We were putting in hours and hours, but we were taking care of what God had given us to do, and that was these children. We started before and after school. We had infants and all that. Well, all of a sudden, it got too big for this old house. So then we had to go to the board. Oh, boy. Then you go into the sanctuary during the week. You know, you had to go into the sanctuary off and on. Then you had to go into the Sunday school classes. We grew to 200 people, 200 kids. And, you know, most of those didn't go to church anywhere. Most of them didn't have church families. We had preschool at the church, and that was okay. But daycare is a whole different thing. You are taking care of that child. That parent is entrusting you to take care of that child. Sometimes they don't feel real good. You know, sometimes there's not things going on too great at home. But what was the joy of our life is that when we had programs, we would always make sure that the people were invited into the services. And we ended up gleaning so many families. Most of them were not Christian, but you know what? They trusted us because it was in our church, and they trusted the family of God to take care of their kids. Those children are now, some of them, we've had them knock on our door, and they have families of their own. And it is amazing to see we have people that started coming to church. Our fellowship grew. And you know, if there was something in the family, such as a death, where did they come to? They came to us for comfort. They would come to us because they knew we cared for their children, we cared for their family. And just over the years, we've been able to, we no longer do that, but that church that we were at with those 200 kids, it's still doing. I mean, it's still going on. It's been, what, 30 years? Since we started, 25, we were very pioneers. People didn't do that back then, but and it was so much work. You know, you worked through the state, you worked with the school districts, you worked with busing the kids. There's so much to it, and only by the grace of God. Because when you're trying to do that, the devil is against you. You know, he's not happy that you're doing this. And so you were always getting these little darts and these arrows that would try to slow us down. But by the grace of God, we were able to help and grow this ministry. And you know what? It didn't help the financial. I mean, it helped the financial area as well for the church. They were able to build new wings. They, you know, but it was always for the ministry of the kids and their families. It wasn't just that. I think Bill and I, over the period of time, we had a family that we did, the grandparents started coming,
And they just came to our 50th anniversary celebration, the grandparents of some of these kids that we had ministered with. And that's the reward. That's what you see, that long term. I know I've kind of rattled on and on here, but I just, you know, it's in, when you minister and you get into it, it gets in your blood, and you just, I see kids and I just want to, that Eli back there, I just want to squeeze him. He's my, I love him to death. And you just want to, you know, you just, kids are really special. And I'm not much for babies anymore. They're too much work. But it's great to have a kid.
So you are in support of daycare in the church?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You think?
Yeah. Thank you.
What did I just say? Yeah.
Saying that I am not in support of daycare. You know, that's not true. I am in support of daycare. I am in support of children. I just know that it takes a price. Somebody somewhere has to pay a price. It'd be great if it just happened, but it doesn't just happen. Somebody somewhere, we have to set our hearts. Really, this morning is set up that when you drive away, that you make our children and the children of our community a matter of prayer. Because it begins in prayers and it comes to fruition in prayer. Yes, we had quite the youth group in the 60s, right, in a very volatile time of our nation. And I'm so glad Bill had come along. Cheryl, she went through every boy in our youth group. she, I think it was four, like a new one there, until Bill, she said, I finally met a man. Don't have to date boys anymore. She was the firefly that we didn't know. It's the truth. That's the truth too. And then Pastor Bill come along and we finally could put an end to that. Pastor Bill did come in. When did you come to Great Falls?
66.
66. How many were in Great Falls area in 66? Remember that? The good old days. And the Bill can come at this time. I know that you want to sit rather than stand. Okay. The deal is you have to put that microphone close. Anyhow, would you welcome my brother-in-law, Pastor Bill? Thank you.
I too have an issue with when I speak of getting emotional. So if you hear me crying or weeping, you'll know that it runs in the family.
Not me.
No, not. Well, the fellowship that we started with the help of Mark and actually Harry was called Full Circle Christian Center. And today I feel like I somewhat come full circle. Mark used to come out and be a guest speaker at our fellowship. And here I am today, going to share, not going to preach, I'm just going to share the testimony about God has directed my steps in life, and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. I was looking at my, have a bunch of certificates and so forth, you know, you kind of hang on to those things throughout your life. And I looked at my certificate of licensing to preach the gospel. And there was Harry Nesbitt's name signed at the bottom. So thank you, Harry. God bless you for trusting me, a new believer. God has been gracious, kind, loving, caring in our lives. And I still say that our anniversary of 50 years, it seems like it was just yesterday. No, it doesn't. Oh, my. Anyway, I asked, been trying to lose weight for years, and it's always been an issue. It runs in my family. I guess it's genetic. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe it's just habitual eating is what's causing it, but that has been a problem. So I know this is going to be telecast on YouTube, and I asked Taylor to make sure he used the wide-angle lens, and so I hope he's getting me all in, or at least back up further if you have to. Oh my. I was really blessed by your worship service. The power of the Holy Spirit was evident. It was a very good time to feel the presence of God. We attend a larger church, and we have, like, I think, 4 or 5 services a day, and a large group of young people. You never see the young people. The sanctuary is usually full. I think it has a capacity of about 300, 280, 300, something like that. But they built a new wing on for the youth, from nursery all the way through high school. Our junior high anyway, and it's just been an incredible ministry that church has emphasized and drawn upon, and the church is still growing, and a lot of it, I think, is because of the care that was given and is given to the young people that attend that church. I'm just going to, real quickly, and as Mark has said in many times when he is discussing something with me, he really has a gifting of God, and I believe that wholeheartedly, of being able to discern and to interpret what God is speaking to him. And he actually, I believe that he has such a unique ability to talk with God. I've seen it throughout his life. And it has been an inspiration and a desire of mine to have that same relationship that he has with God. And he always has said during the course of this discussion that we were going to get into, he would say, "I will keep it mercifully short." So I give to you that same statement today. I will keep it mercifully short. If I didn't, I think I told him yesterday that the testimony that I have, if you had written everything down that God has done for me and guided my life, it would take a book. But I'm not going to do the full autobiography today. We read in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. It says, "In the heart, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." And I believe that because I've seen it emphasized and felt the direction of God. And we all have plans, you know, we all make plans. But it's nice to know that God directs our steps and moves us in the direction that He wants us to go, not necessarily what our plans would have us to do. I believe also, and I'll just tell you a couple short stories about my youth. I think I was in probably the second grade, and my parents were not Christians at the time. I know that they probably had been exposed to the gospel, but never really went to church, never really desired to serve God. But my youngest sister, Muriel, she was cross-eyed. And I kid you not, she would sit across the table from my middle sister, and I was the oldest. I would sit on one side of the table, and my two sisters would sit on the other. And she was so cross-eyed that she would look over at me with one eye, and the other eye was looking at my sister sitting next to her. It was that bad. My family, my dad, my mom, heard that Oral Roberts was coming to town in a big tent meeting. And so they decided to go, and they took Muriel with them. Well, I don't think we went. I don't think my sister, my other sister, and myself went, but they went, they wanted to have her prayed for. And so they got there, waited in line for hours and hours and hours to get to the point of getting my sister prayed for. They came home and nothing had happened. And so I didn't think anything of it. I wasn't even totally sure what they were going there for, other than the fact that they had told that they were waiting in line so long to get Muriel prayed for. And so the next morning we got up and I looked across the table and both eyes were looking at me. God touched her overnight and took away that cross-eyed aspect. And to her death, she still never had that eye that would look the other way. So God does heal. I believe that. And I believe you believe that. And you have a wonderful time of prayer for people's needs. And I think that is very important. Well, getting to the real story here, I'm just going to tell you a few things about how I became a Christian. Matter of fact, my family started going to church after that. As you can see, there was a miracle that was shown. And so they felt like they needed to worship God and be with God and serve God. And for probably 4 or 5 years, they did that. My dad, though, had a weakness. He worked for the railroad there in Roanoke, they worked in an office. He was a call person who actually set up would call the engineers for the different come in and all the staff to come in to take trains from point A to point B. And they all drank in the office. And unfortunately, his dad was an alcoholic. His brother was an alcoholic, and my dad began to drink, and he too became an alcoholic. But I had given my heart to the Lord probably when I was in the fourth or fifth grade in church, and was baptized shortly thereafter. But within a matter of a year or so after that, attending church regularly, my dad fell away from following God, fell away from the church, and so did my mom. And there was a lot of domestic problems when he was drinking. He was a wonderful man. He would give you the shirt off his back. But when he was drinking, he was awful. It was not good. And anyway, I fell away too from my Lord. I did not through high school. Started college after high school, was going to be an electrical engineer, so I was going to an offshoot of Virginia Polytechnical Institute and studied electronics, and was classified 2S. This was back during the Vietnam War. I was classified 2S in school and not subject to the draft. Well, money is always an issue when you're going to college and not having any other source of income. So I got a job at General Electric in the technical department. And this was probably after I started school in September, and that quarter ended. I dropped out of school and got the job with GE. And within a matter of 2 months, my 2S status, I got a notice in the mail, my 2S status went from 2S to 1A. And if you know what that means, you're eligible for the draft. Well, 2 weeks later, I got a notice from the Army. They wanted me to come on down and take door number 4, which I didn't want to go through. But you're there. I'm not going to go to Canada, but thought about it, but I decided it was not a good way to go. So the hunt was on. I my dad was in the Navy, so within my induction time was about a month out, and so I hit the hit the Navy recruiter. I thought since my dad was in the Navy, I would go in the Navy, and that would help hopefully keep me out of Vietnam with carrying a rifle. They had a 6-month waiting period in the Navy. There were so many guys that wanted to enlist in the Navy, or rather than going into the Marine Corps or the Army. And so, well, that option was out. So I took option two, which was the Air Force, and went to the Air Force. They had a 6-month waiting period. And I thought, oh no, well, it was like, this is the end. And I mean the end. There were a lot of people that were sacrificing their lives in Vietnam. I thought, well, if that's what needs to be, I'll show up for the draft and be inducted into the Army. Well, somehow or another, my dad made a call, God bless him, and talked to the Air Force recruiter. And he had me come down and take a series of tests. And they give you an aptitude score, I think in 4 different categories or 3 different categories: mechanics, electronics, administrative, and there may have been one more, loafing. I was good in loafing. But I got a really high score in mechanics. I thought, well, I like electronics, you know, that's what I'm going to school for. So I talked to the recruiter, and he says, well, we're going to put you in ahead of the 6-month waiting period that we have for all these other people, all these other young men. And because you scored high in mechanics, I have to put you in the mechanics department, or the division of studying to be a mechanic. I thought, okay. I said, but I really want to get into electronics. And he said, well, the recruiter said, when you get to basic training, you'll have a chance to tell your sergeant there that you want to switch from mechanics to electrical. Well, I got to basic training, and we had this huge mass amount of people in this auditorium, GIs like myself. The first thing the sergeant said when he got up in front of us, he says, if you are signed up as a mechanic, you cannot switch, no matter what your recruiter told you. Did you not? And so I was destined to be a mechanic. And I thought, well, that's okay. I mean, I changed oil in the car, and I've done a few things with cars, and changed the spark plugs and the points, if anybody knows what points are. So I thought they gave us a list of things that we could be, motor pool and this and this and this. And at the very bottom, it said missiles. Well, as a kid, I always liked playing with missiles. We would take these CO2 powerlets and after we're done with using them in a gun, and we'd punch a bigger hole in the bottom, and we'd cut the heads of matches off and stuff it full of match heads. And then you put another match up in there, and we'd tie it to or strap it to a little stake, and you'd light the bottom of that match, and you had no idea where it was going. But we would run.
We would cut
this is a disclaimer.
Yeah. No, don't do that. I'm at home, right? So you'd light that thing, and it'd take off, and it would go up. It just disappeared, and then you'd see it tumbling back down. A few times they blew up. Fortunately, we were out of the way of the shrapnel. Anyway, when he got to the missiles, he says, you don't need to put that down. He says, they only take a select few into missiles. And I thought, well, I'd surely rather be a missile mechanic than a carpool mechanic. And there's nothing wrong with a carpool mechanic. I've worked on my car all my life, so I understand grease and oil and spark and this and that. But I really was intrigued with the missile aspect. So sure enough, got through basic training and I got my orders to go to Chanute Air Force Base in Ohio and study to be a missile mechanic. And that was one of the first, actually going back, getting into the Air Force was a miracle from God. Getting into missiles was another miracle from God. Getting stationed in Chanute Air Force Base was a miracle from God. And going through tech school there for about 6 months, I met a young man who I knew was a Christian, and he became a very good friend of mine. He was named Don Sarver, and he was kind to me, and I began to drink on the weekends. And I began to head down the road of becoming an alcoholic. I know that. My dad's dad died an alcoholic. My dad's brother died an alcoholic at a very young age. And my dad died as an alcoholic, 54 years old. And so I know, had God not intervened by putting Don in my arena, my circle, and becoming my friend, that I too would have probably become an alcoholic. Well, we would go in Chanute there. They had a all-girls college. One guy had a car, so we would drive up to Bloomington, Illinois, and it was an all-girl college there. We chased girls the whole time we were there. We never caught any, but we did chase and we did hunt them. I'll make this mercifully short. Anyway, Don had never, I knew he was a Christian. I knew he attended church. I knew that he was a good, helpful friend to me. He would be the one that when I got inebriated, that he would make sure I got back in the barracks. Usually he'd make sure I got to the restroom first so I could, you know what. And make sure that I got back in my room and into bed. Don graduated 2 weeks before I did. And he tells me this story after the fact. He graduated 2 weeks before I did. And he said, to finish the story, this part is critical. He went home and he told me later, he said, he prayed for me and he told God, if you let Bill get stationed at Mauser, here in Great Falls, that's where he was going. He had gotten these orders. And most people that put in for Mauser didn't get it. You usually ended up in Minot, North Dakota, or some very, I won't say ungodly, but very awful place with these missiles. And Great Falls was one of the highlights. If you got Great Falls, you knew you were at least have some sense of civility of people around you. And the weather wasn't quite as bad as it is in Minot, although it was bad. But he prayed that. And I got my orders 2 weeks later, after I graduated, and I had gotten stationed here at Mauser. So here I am driving from Roanoke, went home on leave, driving from Roanoke in a car that should have never made it, but it did. Got here and reported to base, and they assigned you a room. Hundreds of rooms, barracks, hundreds of rooms. They assigned me a room. I went to the room, and guess who my roommate was? It was Don. Just incredible how God had altered my steps of my life to bring me into the family of God, back into the family of God. And Don, he was just incredible. I mean, we were good friends. I mean, I still had the desire to do the things I shouldn't do, but he decided, well, I'm going to invite Bill to church. And so he invited me to church, and for many reasons, I was still looking for girls at this time, because I was young, and I knew there were probably a lot of nice girls in church. Central Assembly of God, Pastor Rohde preached a sermon on the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and the shedding of his blood and his giving of his life that I may have eternal life. That's all it took, was just that simple message. And I couldn't wait to get to the altar, make a commitment to the Lord. And ever since then, I still cry when I think about what Jesus did for me. And we'll try to make it short, promise. Not only did I became a family with my friend Don of God, I became a family within the youth group that was there at Central. And my wife told me earlier that she saw me come in, and she was eyeballing me, she said. I found out later that she was eyeballing a lot of guys. Anyway, Don and I, we started praying together, and we had gotten the missile maintenance teams were five men. There was the team chief, electrician, and three mechanical guys that were on the teams. And Don and I were both mechanical, and we prayed that our team chief would be a man of God. And we found out later, after meeting him, he's being nice, he was good to be around, wasn't real bossy, wasn't real strict in following quote-unquote regulations of what the military wanted you to do. And anyway, we found out later that he attended the West Side Assembly. Is that what it? He went to the Assembly of God of Christ. Him and his family went there. So God had surrounded me with Don and with a team chief who was a Christian. And that was a firm foundation that kept me on the straight and narrow with that aspect of things. 2 years later, or a year and a half later, we lose our team chief. And we thought, oh boy. You know, we really would like another Christian team chief to come in. So Sergeant Kroll was his name. He came in. He was a little heavier, maybe, well, as heavy as I was anyway. He was a nice guy. He seemed nice. Don and I are in church sitting down towards the front. I see we have a few to set up front here, but there's a few empty chairs over here if you want to move forward. We were sitting down front. We turned around and looked at the back of the center of the door where people were coming in. And there, our new team chief was Assembly of God also. He was coming in with his family. And I tell you, you could not put this in a book and have people believe you that were not believers. And God has directed my steps, found my wife of 50 years, plus we're going on the next 50. And I am so thankful that God has provided so much. And I'm so thankful that Mark is here. He was a real inspiration in I think my life, I've never probably told him this before, but I could see the gift in him, Mark. I could see the diligence that he had. He could go and meditate and talk to the Lord. And I'd hear this and I thought, man, I just can't bring myself to do that. But I wanted that. I wanted a better relationship with Christ. And you have, as your pastor, you have a man that I love dearly and has been an inspiration to my life, and I know he will be an inspiration to yours. And at that, the mercy has closed. I'm done. But I hope you take something from it and know that God is He is the one that guides our steps. We can make all kinds of plans, but thank God that He directs our path. And with that, I say thank you and God bless you, and I'll turn it back to Mark.
It was a definite step up for me because I was driving a 58 Rambler station wagon. I never cruised Central. I had to go up and down the one ways. I wasn't even allowed to go on Central Rambler station wagon. When I got a Chevy 2, I was. We've tried to say this morning the tremendous value of investing in children. Youth group, our youth group was something else back then. Many, many people went on just in the ministry, but if you don't go in the ministry, just living life. It's a tremendous thing. But it is a position that people of a fellowship need to take, and I'm asking you all to take that position. That even though we all need ministry, we need to set ourselves straight on the value of babies. Amen, Paula?
Amen.
Worked for how many years in the nursery at your former church? Many years? Nine?
Well, actually, I worked in the nursery at two different churches for 37 years.
37 years handling babies? God help you. And God help your husband.
And then going to speak to my twins and my 24-year-old.
Oh, she loves babies, and we're fortunate to have her here. And for those who will be working with the children's church. And then our youth department, I totally agree with Cheryl. You know, when you're in that adolescent stage, things aren't always perfect, that's for sure. But to keep coming back week after week and being kind of corralled and having the influence, the positive influence, and you get through those years of many things, of the insanity called adolescence, I guess, and you make it. So thank you for listening. We do. I know Cheryl's going to take a. With Phyllis, going to go downstairs and look in our daycare. And we just want to be ready. We want to be ready for the future, as it relates to our young people. I'm going to ask ushers if you come. Ushers, if you come forward. And let's see. Where's Anthony? Is he gone? Oh. You're sneaking up on me. What, do you remember what the Lord, you and I were talking about this week?
Me going into ministry.
You want to say that again?
Me going into ministry.
And quite possibly the Lord has that call on his life. He's in the midst of everything. I don't know whether it was Joyce's situation or the Lord spoke to my heart about this young man possibly going to ministry. I thought, but I think, and regardless or not, this is where the ministry begins. And I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer that God will provide us the finances for this smart screen, okay?
Okay.
You just say what comes to your heart. God can translate it.
Okay. Dear Lord, just please touch these people's hearts so we can get the funds to get this smart TV so we can touch the youth and just spread your word, Lord. Amen.
Amen. You got the books and the hat? Peter's going to pass the hat?